Well, good morning to everyone out there, and welcome to another session of Healing School at High Point Church. I want to first of all take a moment to welcome all of our visitors out there, all of you who do not call High Point Church your home, and maybe you've just stumbled upon this airing of this Healing School today, and I just wanted to tell you, welcome. It might be a divine appointment for you today. Praise God. I got testimonies last week at the end of Healing School that we had a couple of people healed as we called out various sicknesses and diseases that were going on. And we're going to do that again this week. Praise God. We are going to minister healing because we believe here at High Point Church that it is God's will to heal, that God has provided healing in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. But He also is real good at demonstrating healing too. Amen. So we experience it, we teach it, we preach it, and amen, we hear and are healed. So we believe today you might have your miracle line before you. So let's receive it by faith, praise God, and take what is ours. Like I said, here at High Point Church, we are big on this subject. We believe God is big on the subject of healing. We believe He emphasizes it throughout the Word of God. Therefore, it is a big part of God's heart. In fact, I want to take you over to Acts chapter 10 before we pick up on what God would say to us today. And I want you to notice something. This verse that we're going to look at, I love this particular verse. It's something that the Apostle Peter declared to the first Gentile converts, amen, when he was ministering the gospel to them. And he gives us, I believe, what Jesus came to do and to say in a nutshell. I believe this verse teaches us a lot of important things. Acts chapter 10, verse 38. He says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Now, the first thing you need to see in that is the fact Jesus had to be anointed. He had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit Himself in order to do the miracles He did. Many people think that Jesus did the things He did because He is the Son of God, and that's not true. You do not see any miracles in the life of Jesus before He had the Holy Spirit descend upon Him when He was baptized. And that's something that we need to understand today, because as He is, so are we in this world. And if you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, you have the same opportunity to operate in the miracles, signs, and wonders that the Messiah did. Hallelujah. So he says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power." Now notice this, two things. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So these two things, there is a serious misconception in the church about what Jesus did and what the will of the Father is. The first thing we see here is that Jesus came to do good. Amen. And we study the life of Jesus, and we've done this in this particular healing school. We've gone through a lot of different examples from His life and ministry, and we learn that that's what He did. Everything Jesus did was good. It was mercy. You never see Jesus one time making somebody sick and telling them that this is God's will for them to teach them something. No, He came to minister healing to those who were what? Oppressed by the devil. Now, let me say something else about that. You study the life of Jesus and you will find some interesting things. For example, there was a man with a withered hand who had come to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and Jesus was present. And it says that all of those religious leaders who were there were watching Him because they just knew He was going to heal this guy on the Sabbath day. And you know what that teaches me? Is that those religious fault finders that came to criticize Jesus and didn't believe that He was who He was actually had more faith in the goodness of God than most people in the church today do, because they expected a healing to occur on that day. And that's because they knew Jesus went about doing good. And what else was He doing? Healing all. Not some. He healed everybody. And you actually see this, that multitudes would come to Jesus, and every single one of them would walk away healed. Now, what's even more powerful to understand about that is, they had a covenant that promised them healing if they did His commandments. So you know what that teaches me? All those sick people, or a good portion of them, let's just say that to just be conservative, a good portion of those people that were sick, diseased, and infirm that came to Jesus' ministry to be healed, that were all Jewish, must have been violating God's commandments somehow. Because why? He said if we would keep His commandments, He would take all sickness and disease away from the midst of us. So if there was sickness and disease present, there must have been a violation to His law. You, guess what? Jesus healed them all anyways. Praise God. So what does that teach you and me? It doesn't matter what we've done. Many people own their sickness and disease because they think they did something to deserve it. And the devil has deceived them, and they are holding on to something that Jesus Christ came to redeem them from. Because why? He healed all who were oppressed by the devil. And notice it didn't say they were oppressed by God. You know, because if God was oppressing people with sickness and disease, and then Jesus was coming and healing them, that would be a house divided against itself, which could not stand. Amen. So we see here that if Jesus was healing all these people, He was coming against the devil, not God's will. And amen, it's the devil, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus has come to give us life and life more abundantly. So be encouraged with that today to know that your sickness, your disease, any infirmity you've got in your life is not God's will. And God in His goodness and in His mercy will heal you today. Bless God forever. Amen. Let me pray before we get into today's message. Father, I thank You today that healing is Your will. And I thank You, Lord, it's not just what you do, it's who You are. You are a healer, and You came to heal us of all our diseases, all of our physical problems. It is a part of the atonement. And just as much as we have been forgiven of our sins, we have been healed of our diseases. This is Your will. And so, Lord, I'm asking You today to use my voice to speak words of life. Send Your word and heal this audience today. And we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory for it in Jesus' name. And somebody out there needs to say amen to that. Praise God. So let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs, the fourth chapter. If you've been tuning in the last couple of weeks with us, you know that we have been on a particular series which I'm calling God's medicine. Amen. It shows us what God's medicine, His prescription is for you and I walking in the blessing of healing that He already provided for us on the cross. Amen. And this is important for us to understand because I believe as the church, we need to find out what is ours. And then once we find out what's ours, how to apply it to our life. And I believe Proverbs chapter 4 teaches us this, praise God. So let's look at it again. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. Now, of course, Solomon is writing here. Notice what he says. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Amen. Now I want you to go back to verse 20 because I want you to notice something. When Solomon wrote this, he was obviously, when he penned this, writing this to one of his physical sons, or probably all of them, and he says, my son. But we don't need to make the mistake of reading this like it was just Solomon talking to his children. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and all of these holy men were moved by the Holy Spirit to pen the things they did. So even though Paul was writing to the Ephesians and Solomon was writing to the Jews here, we know it's the Holy Spirit talking to us today. So God is saying, my son. And the important thing we need to take away from that is, just like we give our children pieces of instruction, and they don't always necessarily follow them, I believe we as God's children today are guilty of the same thing. God has told us what is best for us, how we can walk in the quality of life that we have available to us, but many of us follow our own way, do things the way we feel, go by our emotions, and we don't receive God's best, and that doesn't make us our Heavenly Father's fault. Praise God. We need to receive what He says to us and take it at face value. So He says again, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. So what Solomon is saying here is all of these words and sayings that he just referred to will actually produce life in us when we find them. And we made the point last week that finding them implies that we must be searching for them. And see, this shows that there is a diligence that's involved in the Christian life. Precious things do not lie on the surface in this physical world. Likewise, precious things in God's Word are going to have to be dug for. We're going to have to seek after them. And the Bible teaches us that when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled, praise God. And when we search after Him with all our heart, then we will find Him. So it shows that our diligence and our hunger for the things of God is key to experiencing the quality of life that He has for us. He said they're life to those who find them. So what that teaches me is God has a life intended for us, just like Solomon did for his sons, that we need to measure up to, that we need to receive and walk in and say, God, You've got something better for me than what I'm experiencing in my life, so I'm going to seek after it. And we start to value God's words and His sayings, and then they become that life to us. But notice he says in the second half of verse 22, they are also health to all their flesh. Now that's awesome to me because all your flesh means all your physical self, praise God. So it doesn't matter what's going on in my life physically, whether it's eye problems, whether it's problems with my feet, whether it's internal organs that need to be repaired, all of my flesh means all of my flesh. And this promise says His words, His sayings are health to all of my flesh. Now the Hebrew word that's used for health here is actually translated in a lot of your margins of your Bible will say this, medicine. Praise God. So His Word is the remedy. His Word is the cure. His Word is the medicine to anything that ails us in our physical flesh. Praise God. So what do we have to do? Receive His sayings. Receive His words. And we're going to go into today talking about another way in which we can do that. But the fact that He talks about our words and our sayings shows us something else really important. The words here comes from the Hebrew word dabar, which is the word that is exclusive for talking about God's written word, the law, the Torah, so what we would call the Scriptures today, praise God. And as our secretary here at the church, Bruce Van Bibber said, His words need to set dabar for our life, praise God, amen. So we got to give attention to His words, but also His sayings. And the word for sayings there describes the communicated words God gives us. It might be an audible word we receive. It might be a rhema by the Holy Spirit, a communicated word in our heart, praise God. Both of these are what produce this life and medicine in all of our flesh. Amen. So what we have to do is value God's word to a degree and take this medicine, hallelujah, so that it can prove to be true in our life. Now, this is what's important to understand in my own heart right here. This is something that you need to get. Just like it is with medicine in the natural, in this physical world, it doesn't have an immediate effect on you. You know, like say you had to take antibiotics. They say you got to make sure you take the full prescription. And it doesn't necessarily in the first 24 hours, you don't see a change in your life, right? It's something that you got to continuously take it so that it can begin to assimilate into your body, and through a process of time, it will work in your life. I believe God's Word is like that. We can't be looking for a drive-through breakthrough. We can't be looking for a magic wand all the time. But if we learn to prioritize God's Word and take it long enough and in the right way in the prescribed formula, it will work in our lives, praise God. So that's what we began to get into last week. We started talking about if God's Word is medicine, then are there directions for use? Is there a prescribed formula for taking it? I believe so. Just like our medicine bottles, praise God, have written on them how to take them, what to take them with, and how often to take them, so forth. I believe God's medicine bottle that's listed right here has directions for us. And it's in the first two verses that we've looked at. So let's review what we talked about last week. He starts off by saying, "My son, give attention to my words." Now this is important because giving attention implies something, that you are giving your undivided attention to His words. And why is this important for us to understand? It's because we live in a world today that is vying for our attention. There are distractions in this world that are going to try to take you away from God's Word. We've got cell phones, we've got tablets, we've got laptops, we've got social media, we've got everything that's screaming, "Look at me! Listen to me!" But God's Word says if you'll just give attention to it, then it'll start working in your life. And it's interesting that this is the first thing that's said. Because to give attention to something or someone implies that you honor and respect the thing that's speaking. Amen. I give attention. I will listen to the thing that I am valuing in my life. And that's where we need to exalt God's Word to. We need to exalt it to a place to where it is first priority in my life. And I am not going to go another day where I'm not feeding my spirit on God's Word. I know one minister that I listen to, he has a rule that he lives by in his life. And this is what he says. He says, "When I get up in the morning, I will not eat physically until I've eaten spiritually." So if he's not making time for the Word of God, he's going to sacrifice breakfast. And if he hadn't done it by then, he's going to sacrifice lunch. Now, you can get that dogmatic about it, but my point is we've got to get so serious about it that we are valuing God's Word and that we're willing to give all of our attention, our undivided attention, to His words in our life. But He didn't just say that. He said, "Incline your ear to my sayings," which to incline something means to tilt it, to position it, right? So when He says, "Incline your ear to my sayings," it's like put yourself in position to hear. I used this example last week that say if I'm in a noisy restaurant with some people and I'm trying to listen to what somebody across the table is saying to me, I've learned that there's this clever little thing you can do to make sure you hear them better. And you cup your hands behind your ear. See, what am I doing? I'm inclining my ear to their sayings because I really want to hear what they're saying. Amen. And this is important for us to do because there are things that you and I can do in our life to position ourselves and incline ourselves to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. And I'm telling you, many people say, I wish God would speak to me. I wish God would talk to me and so forth. You might have been praying that here recently and say, "God, why don't you talk to me like you talk to so-and-so?" Well, I think that the Lord would say to us today, "Why aren't you listening like so-and-so is listening?" Amen? See, I know that's tight, but it's right, but it's true, is that I believe God's always talking. I believe God's a chatterbox. And the Holy Ghost on the inside of you is, and He's calling your name, and He's wanting to talk to you. But many of us, because we have a divided attention, and we're listening to things in the world, and we're more inclined to what the world is saying, we're not in position to hear. And this is important, because when we went through last week, we found out where hearing and healing are so intertwined. In fact, you look at the word hearing versus the word healing, and there's only one letter that's different. And that's because I believe they're mutually exclusive. I believe that they both work together. When you hear well, you can be healed well. Praise God. And so what we did was we went over to Exodus chapter 15, a very familiar passage of Scripture where the Lord spoke to His covenant people. And He said, "I am the Lord who heals you." But before He revealed Himself that way, He says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight and give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, then I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." So I want you to notice here, He's saying the same thing Solomon was saying. Solomon was saying, give attention to his words and incline your ear to His sayings. The Lord's saying this too. You've got to listen. You've got to give diligent heed to His voice, and you've also got to give ear to His commandments. When you do both of these things, then He becomes the Lord who heals you. Praise God. And we learn from this passage of Scripture we're looking at that diligently heeding the voice of the Lord our God literally meant in the Hebrew to hear twice. Amen. And I think it's been well said that the Lord gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. And why is that? Because we're supposed to be doing twice as much listening as we are talking. But if you listen to people in the world, you can listen, literally. When you listen to people in the world, you find out more people are doing much more talking than they are really hearing. If we want to walk in the healing power of God, we've got to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. We've got to put our nose in this book and hearing, as it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then, faith comes by hearing and hearing. Two ears, praise God, are listening, and that's where the faith comes that receives what Jesus did for us. Hallelujah. So hearing is important. The ear gate is significant to getting this medicine down into our heart like we're going to look at today. But that leaves me where I want us to go today. We've got to get into another ear gate. We've got to have God's Word enter into another gate that we have in our life, and that gate is our eyes. So go back over to Proverbs chapter 4, and let's get into this. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. After the Lord said, my son, give attention to my words and incline your ear to my sayings, he says this, do not let them depart from your eyes. Amen. Now this is obviously not talking about our physical eyes. Just as the scripture before that didn't talk about our physical ears necessarily. Of course, you've got to hear something for it to be heard in your heart. This isn't necessarily talking about physically looking at it. Because how many of you know you're not going to be able to have your nose planted in this book 24/7. You got to sleep, you got to work, you got to do other things. So it's not talking about physically looking at it, it's talking about looking at it in your heart. And we'll get into some ways to talk about this today. Now, I will tell you, the religious folk back in these thousands of years ago when God was speaking to His original covenant people, they made the mistake of only looking at these passages carnally. I've got a couple of scriptures you can look at. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 8. Deuteronomy 11 and verse 18. And you can turn over to Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 8. In all these passages of Scripture, the Lord constantly told His people to keep His Word between the frontlets of their eyes. And you know what this calls them to do? Because of their carnality, they're like, well, the Lord says, keep it on the between our eyes. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to build these little contraptions that we're going to put over our head, this little wooden box, and we're going to roll the Scriptures up on a little piece of paper, and we're going to stick it down in that box so that we obey this commandment. Those things were called phylacteries. All right, you might have seen it on some of these theatrical portrayals of the Jews, is that they actually went around and did this. How many of you know that's not what the Lord meant? The Lord was not saying that if you put your head down on your Bible and you sleep on it all night, that you're immediately going to know everything that's in it. That's ridiculous. But what He was trying to illustrate to them is that we can see it and have it in the central part of our focus and give it our attention. In Exodus chapter 13, let me show you one of these examples. This is awesome. This was when the Lord was instituting the Feast of the Unleavened Bread to them. And I want you to notice something that He says after He prescribes how they're to do this feast together. He says in verses 8 and 9, notice this. And you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. And then verse 9. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. Now, how many of you know that the Lord was not trying to tell them that you tell your children, this is why we do this feast, and now you're somehow to package this feast up and put it on your hand and put it on your forehead? No, He's not talking literally and physically. He was telling them that, no, you need to have it in the central part of everything you do and with everything you focus on. Like, let's look at this as an example. This feast was instituted because of how God delivered them out of Egypt. This is how the Lord wanted to remind them so that they would never forget how He delivered them from the Egyptians. Now, you that are learned in the Scriptures would know this, is that Egypt was a type of the world. Pharaoh was a type of the devil. And their exodus, their deliverance from the world and Satan, was significant of how we were born again and how we were delivered. So it'd be like the Lord telling us today, I want you, in everything you do and everything you focus on, I want you to remember how you were saved, how you were born again, how I delivered you from this world. I want this to be right in the middle of everything you have in your vision and what you are focused on in your life. Praise God. So what he's talking about here is he's talking about our focus and our attention and giving him, not letting these things depart from our eyes. Praise God. So now go over to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua, the first chapter. Let me give you a couple of other examples of how the Lord was teaching His people how to possess the promised land, how to live in victory, because all of these things are symbolic to us of how you and I walk in the blessings and promises of God, how we possess our promised land, and our healing is our promised land. Praise God. So Joshua chapter 1, let's begin in verse 2. This is an important statement. He says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, do you know why he told him that? Because it was symbolic of, we need to realize we got to forget the things of old. We can't keep looking back in the past and say, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way I received back then. No, we've got to understand we're moving into a new season. And that in this new season, we can't depend on the things that worked yesterday. In order for us to walk in our healing today, we got to hear God's words and sayings today, praise God. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Praise God. Now this is important. You know what he's telling them? Is that as you're going into this land, I want you to look at it. I want you to know that every place the sole of your foot treads on, this is your land. You know what he was teaching them here? You've got to visualize your victory. You've got to see it. And let me say it this way. If you don't see your promised land in here, then you won't enter into it out here. And it's important for us to get it. You've got to see yourself as victorious. You've got to see yourself as possessing this land. That's why it is so important that when it comes to healing, you've got to visualize yourself. Close your eyes and use your imagination and imagine yourself jumping and leaping and worshiping God and receiving your healing. Imagine yourself getting that good doctor's report telling you you're completely healed and see it on the inside of you. Praise God. And then notice what he says in verse 4. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Notice this, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. That terminology is really important. Because how many of you know if I'm observing something, that means I'm beholding it. I'm seeing it, right? He says here that you may observe to do. Did you know the best way to be a doer of the Word of God is to see yourself doing it? Praise God. To see the Word of God on the inside of you. That's when it impacts you. When it impacts you in your heart, then you're able to do it. In fact, go over to James and let me show you an example of that. Hold your place in Joshua. But I love this. This is too good to pass up. It will actually dovetail perfectly with what we're teaching on Sunday mornings as we're going through looking in the mirror and seeing who we are in Christ. But it says in verse 21 of James 1, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness. This means being teachable because you value it. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Hallelujah. You know, the word save here can also be translated heal. Hallelujah. So I would say it this way: receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to heal your emotions. Hallelujah. Which is able to deliver you in your mental capacity. Hallelujah. God's word can actually bring healing to your soul just like it can your body. Verse 22, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. Notice this, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. You know, it's like us. If we went and looked at ourselves in the mirror this morning and we're combing our hair, putting our makeup on, you know, we're going to have a really hard time doing that if we just go look in the mirror and say, okay, that's what I look like this morning, and then go away from the mirror and try to put our makeup on. We might look hideous. You probably don't want to go out in public if you did that, praise God. But I'm here to tell you, glory be to God, we can not leave the mirror. Because notice verse 25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. Now, you know, the word continues here comes from the Greek word paramino. The word para means to come alongside of. It's like where we get our word parallel from. It's two lines running alongside of each other. But then the word mino is where Jesus used it in John chapter 15 when he talked about abiding in him, which meant to remain, stay, live, or dwell. So when you combine this word together, para, which means to come alongside of, and mino, to stay, the word continues means to come alongside of this mirror and stay by it. So that's the way you become a doer of the word, is that once you've read it with your physical eyes, you're still seeing it in here as you go along. Glory be to God. That's how we become doers of the word. That's how we observe to do. Now back over in Joshua chapter 1, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I done preached myself happy already this morning. Glory to God. We can see it in here. Glory to God. And then he goes on to say, let's just start in verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Now, don't skim over that. Notice what he says. The first thing he says is, don't let it depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it. That shows me that what we say is a significant part of meditation. You know, I'll say it this way. Many people only see meditation as a mental exercise, but I believe there are different ways to meditate the Word of God. The Jewish people had a custom back then called davening. And what they would do is they would take their scriptures and they would have it there, and they would go to the temple, and they would actually take those scriptures and they would mutter those scriptures while rocking back and forth. Say, His word shall not depart from my mouth. I shall meditate in it day and night. And they would do that. You know what they were doing? They were meditating on His word. So I believe that speaking the word of God can become a significant part of us seeing it on the inside of us. Glory to God. And I'll use an example. It'd be like if I got you today, like you say, I can't control what I'm thinking. I'm thinking all these depressing thoughts. I'm thinking of committing suicide. And all these bad things are happening. I can cure that real quick. This is what I'll do. I can't control what I think. I'll tell them this. I'll say, all right, I want you to do this. Don't think on what I'm about to tell you. And I'll start describing something like a dog, and then a big furry dog, and a dog that's barking. You know what? When you start thinking on that, then guess what's going to happen? It's going to replace the other thing you were thinking about. But specifically, if I get you to imagine this dog, in fact, let's do it right now. Close your eyes right where you're at. And I want you to picture a dog. Now, this is a big dog. It's a big furry dog. And this big furry dog is barking, going crazy barking. Now say, praise the Lord. Where did your dog go? Your dog left when you started praising God, because why? Your words trump what you try to think on. So if you can't control what you're thinking on, the way to replace it is not letting His word depart from your mouth. You just start saying, glory to God, praise the Lord. And then you can't think about that other thing anymore. Glory be to Jesus. So then, go over to Psalm 1. I want to show you another example where this is used. The first psalm, I love this. It's essentially saying the same thing as Joshua 1 was saying. about meditating on His Word day and night, but I wanted to look at it in this passage. It says in verse 1, "Blessed is the man." You know, that's you and me, in case you hadn't figured that out yet. We are the blessed men and women of God. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight," that's key. This means that you are desiring it. This means your heart is inclined towards it. You value it. "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." We'll come right back to that, but let's look at the rest. "He shall be like a tree." Who? The one that delights in the law of the Lord and meditates in it day and night. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season." That means that you are fruitful, and healing is one of those fruits. "Whose leaf also shall not wither." You know what that teaches me? This thing that's taught to us in the church and people establish us in is, well, sometime God's going to take you through the wilderness and you're going to feel dry and you're not going to sense His presence and you're just going to live times like that. This is the time God teaches you. Not according to this verse. He said, "My leaf will not wither." Glory to God. That means that I can walk in a place to where I'm constantly basking in the joy of the Lord. And it's going to happen as I choose to think right, as I choose to speak right, as I choose to not let His words depart from my eyes. And then look at this. "And whatever." You know, the kids say that today, whatever. But look at this. "Whatever he does shall prosper." That means it doesn't matter. Financially, physically, emotionally, maritally, doesn't matter. In your life, anything will prosper when you meditate on His Word day and night. So we're seeing again how His Word acts as medicine, not just for all our flesh, but for everything else that concerns us. Glory be to God. So this is cool to me because meditating on His Word day and night becomes the key, the remedy for me walking in the blessing, and that includes healing. But people will hear that and they'll say something to the effect, "Well, brother, you can't meditate on the Word of God day and night. You got to do this. That's impossible," and this and that. I got news for you. You already meditating on something day and night. It's just probably not the Word of God. People are worrying and fretting about all this stuff. But what if we replace that mental energy with God's Word? Hallelujah. And start to make that our focus because we're speaking it and we're seeing it on the inside of our heart. Well, I know what'll happen. We'll start prospering in every area of our life, and we'll start walking in some divine health. Glory to God. Now go over to Matthew 6. Praise the Lord. I want to look at a scripture you do not hear taught on too often, but I believe it's significant to what we're talking about here. This, of course, is the Sermon on the Mount. One of Jesus' best and most popular messages He ever preached. And He says in verse 22 of Matthew chapter 6, notice this. "The lamp of the body is the eye." And you know what that means? That means all the light that's going to enter into your physical body is going to come through this eye gate. "The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light." And of course, then He goes on to describe in the next verse how the opposite is true. If your eye is evil, then your whole body will be full of darkness. But I want to focus on the positive today. Because He says, if your eye is good, then your whole body will be full of light. Now, how many of you know that if your body is full of light, that means it's full of healing. That's full of health. That's full of the life of God, the quality of life on your physical flesh. If your eye is good. Now, the word good here, your Bible might say if your eye is single or so forth. This is what it literally means. A good eye is a simple, single, or sound eye. A simple, a single, or a sound eye. And when I was preparing for this, of course, my mind goes to this. I'm a sports guy. I like sports. But this is the only thing I could think of that would describe a good eye. We use it in baseball, is that if somebody, when they're batting, if they have a good eye, do you know what that means? They can pick up on what the pitch is that's coming, and they don't swing at balls, they only swing at strikes. If they've got a good eye, That means they are focused in on that ball, they see it clearly, and they know when it's a pitch to swing at and when it's a pitch to take. Amen? Now, I believe this is a great example for us because how many of you know, if I'm standing up to bat and I got a pitcher that throws hard enough and he's skilled enough, if my eye is not good, I'm going to strike out. But listen to this. If my eye is single, then I might hit a single. Glory to God. Only you baseball fans might get that one right there. Amen. But it's the truth is that having a good eye is an eye that's focused, an eye that sees, an eye that has undivided attention. Because it's like when I've coached Little League before, and when those kids are up there and they're thinking about what all the fans are saying and looking at the second baseman and all that, they're going to strike out most of the time because their eye is not single. It's not focused. Our eye has to be on what we need to receive. That's where our focus and our attention needs to be. And here's the awesome promise. Just like Jesus said, your whole body will be full of light. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God, but notice this. The entrance of your words gives light and understanding to the simple. There's that word again. So what are you seeing here? Is that when His words enter into me, it will actually bring life and light to all my flesh. Glory be to God. That was worth the price of admission right there. But go back over to Proverbs and let's look at the fourth and final thing that Solomon tells us is the key for His Word becoming life to us and medicine to all our flesh. Quickly, let me review. He says, first, you got to give attention to it. That means you have to value it. You have to prioritize it. This is the way in which we're receiving it. And then he says, incline your ear to my sayings. That's the ear gate. Do not let them depart from your eyes. That's the eye gate. Then he says, keep them in the midst of your heart. Now, you see how this works with medicine? Is that in order for medicine to take effect in our body, we've got to somehow have it go through one of these gates into our physical body, which usually medicine is taken orally, right? So just say I've got a pill right here. If I took it through my mouth gate, it goes down into my belly, but it's not till it gets down there that it begins to assimilate and gets into my bloodstream and takes effect in my body. It's the same thing with the Word of God. You have got to get God's words and His sayings through your ears and through your eyes down into the midst of your heart. That means the middle of it. And it's the priority position in your life. Glory to God. Now, go over to Hebrews chapter 2 and let me show you something as we begin to close. Hebrews chapter 2, I believe this is a great example to show us the importance of what He just said. Keeping His Word. See, because that's the key part of what Solomon says there. You've got to keep it in the midst of your heart. You know what that means? There's something out there, the world, the devil, our own flesh, that's going to try to take it out of the central part of our heart. All right? So we've got to learn to keep it there. And I believe the writers of Hebrews tells us how to do this. He says, therefore, we must. So this shows us this is absolutely so important that we must do this. We must give the more earnest heed. That means we must listen to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. And what that teaches me is that we have got to listen more after we've originally heard it in order to keep it. Now, that's important because how many people do this? They come to church, or you might listen to this message today, and you get off this stream of this service, and then you go to your friend and say, Pastor Trey sure preached a good message today. And then somebody says, really? What did he talk about? Well, you know what? I can't quite remember. Why? Because you didn't keep it in the midst of your heart. That's why you got to take notes and revisit the things you have heard. Why? Lest you drift away. And a great example of this is when you go to the beach. Now, we're on the East Coast here, and one thing you learn, if you go out on the beach and you put your umbrella down, you put your towel down, and then you go straight out into the water, I don't know if it's going to translate on video like this, but say I go out into the water and I've got my stuff there. Guess what's going to happen? If I don't pay attention to where I went out into the water, and I'm just out there playing and not focused, not giving attention, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to end up way over here. And I'm going to look up after about 15 minutes of being out there and saying, how in the world did I get taken this way? And you know why? It's because of the undertow. And I believe all these things teach us something, is that the world does this, but the devil does this too. He will cause you to drift away from the things you have heard. And that's why it doesn't work for us, because we haven't kept it in the midst of our heart. Praise God. And this is what Jesus taught us in the parable of the sower, praise God. In the parable of the sower, He teaches us that there's one kind of heart that produces 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it is the heart that it says in Luke chapter 8, verse 15, the heart that keeps the word that was sown into it. And I'm telling you, this is critical. You and I must keep it. You and I must value it. You and I must treasure it. So it gets down in our heart and, like medicine would in our body, begin to assimilate it into all of our flesh. And then we will walk in the medicine and the healing of God's Word in all our flesh. Can I get an amen out there? Praise God. This is important, saints. For us to learn that God's Word is more than enough to heal you today. You don't have to have somebody lay hands on you. With this socially distant thing that we've got going on right now, you don't want people laying hands on you. But the Word of God can be sent. And just like the Bible says, He sends His Word and heals us and delivers us from all our destructions. God's Word is enough. So let's have the faith of the centurion that says, you don't even need to come to my house. Master, just speak the word, because I know what authority is all about. And then it will begin to work in your life. According to your faith, be it done unto you today. Amen, amen. Let me pray for you right now. Father, I thank You that healing is our inheritance. It is our promised land. And just as You taught the children of Israel, that Lord, as they would begin to remind themselves and put their attention and their focus on all the things You did for them, it would keep it fresh and alive, and their hearts would keep it. They'd keep it in the frontlet of their eyes. And boy, it would bring healing in their life. I thank You. Healing is ours today. Praise God. Ironically enough, I'm thinking right now of somebody who's having physical situation with your eyes. Some people, your eyes are watering a lot, and the Lord will provide healing for you in that area right now in the name of Jesus. Your vision's been blurry. Now, is there somebody that your eyes are fluttering? People are telling you that your eyes flutter and move back and forth, and you've experience some physical problems with that. The Lord says today, it is yours. Just take it. Praise the Lord. Healing is yours. So I speak to your physical eyes and declare that by the stripes of Jesus, your eyes are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hear the Lord also saying this morning that some of you need to be asking for wisdom, for a word of wisdom concerning your physical ailments. Because it might be that some of your physical problems are directly tied to physical changes that need to take place in your life. It might be drinking more water. It might be exercising more. But your problems are directly tied to physical choices that need to be made. You need to hear from the Holy Spirit today, because as we learn, His sayings also provide health to all your flesh. That's that rhema from the Holy Spirit. So you've got to hear from the Lord today. Praise God. There are people out there that are having problem with your digestive tract and your intestines, and it's created a lot of different issues with you. I'm not sure of all the names that would be associated with it. Maybe you've had something pronounced over you like that. But I believe the Lord today will provide you with healing throughout your digestive tract in Jesus' mighty name. Thank You, Father. Oh, I give You glory, Lord. I thank You, Jesus. Somebody's hands are being healed right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your physical hand has been causing problem. I don't think it's arthritis. I think it's something else. Maybe you hurt it. Maybe it was just a natural injury. But in the name of Jesus, you can receive that today. You don't have to walk through a process of letting that heal on its own. You can receive it today supernaturally because He causes His Word to spring forth speedily in your life today. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I thank You today, Lord, that You are our healer and that You provide it. It's already been done. We are already healed and whole by Your stripes, Jesus. Hallelujah. There's some personal issues going on, and I'm not going to necessarily call these out, but there are some things going on with stuff that you might be embarrassed to even tell people that it's going on in your life. Have the Holy Spirit bear witness with that today. I believe the Lord will heal that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Father. Even things that you don't necessarily need, just things that add to the quality of your life. Don't just settle and say, well, I don't really need this. I can live without this. He can create life back in that finger in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Healing is yours. It's our inheritance. God wants us healed, happy, and whole. It is His will in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen.